Hi guys, just to let you know that I have a promo of another podcast that I would love for you to listen to, playing at the very end of this episode. So please stay tuned until then. If you struggle to find great, scary podcasts, or are tired of the same old scary stories told by commercial creators, then maybe Scary Time is for you. Scary Time is a podcast that lets you hear a scary story from a different indie podcast each week. It promises the scariest stories, history, and conversations you've ever heard. And according to the show description, each week, independent creators will tell you about the paranormal, ghosts, monsters, hauntings, creepy places, enchanted objects, aliens, and many more. If you want a new scary podcast, or several, head over to www.dummies.fan/murderandmore. That's www.dummies.fan/murderandmore for the creepiest stories you'll wish you've never heard. Hi M&Ms, welcome back to another episode of Murder and More. As always, I am your host, Kira. Social media has taken the world by storm in the last decade. It's become a platform to express your thoughts and feelings, and a way to connect with old friends you've not spoken to for years. You can see what your aunt had for dinner last night, how your nephew's first day of school went, or the troubles the couple down the road are having in their relationship, all just a click away. Most people use social media nowadays to share funny stories, news, successes, selfies, pictures of their pets, kids, and houses, while most use social media to keep up with the lives of their friends and families. Predators use it to prey on potentially vulnerable victims and lull them into a false sense of security. Catherine Winter was a talented art student who was expected to graduate from a 2-year foundation degree at West Hertfordshire College in 2012, described by her mum, Joy, as a ray of sunshine, who was, quote, truly unique, one in a million, and irreplaceable, end quote. Joy described her daughter, who liked to be called Katie, as always smiling, with Katie's older sister, Sabrina, describing her as a really happy person whom she never saw upset or crying. Katie loved to spend time with her 3 closest friends, who spent so much time together. They were dubbed the Four Musketeers. One of her childhood best friends, Amy, said Katie was a genuinely nice person who was very trusting and refused to see the bad in others. In the spring of 2011, Katie met Tony Bushby, an 18-year-old karate instructor and fellow art student at West Hertfordshire College. The pair had gone to the same primary school in Boreham Wood, where they both grew up, with Tony being in the year below her. However, they had never interacted until this year. While the pair met at college, they shared no classes together, and friends don't recall ever seeing the pair together. The couple's relationship developed over Facebook, with fellow student Keen Min Vuong stating, quote, she said she met Bushby on Facebook. She told us she loved him, but she seemed shy about it. I didn't get the impression she saw much of him. She contacted him primarily through Facebook, phone calls, and texting. She would always say the relationship was fine if I asked, but she didn't talk about it much. She said she would meet him in this place in the forest in a clearing and just talk and kiss, end quote. Amy told Leah Green for the Channel 5 documentary The Catfish Killer, quote, "It sounded like she was just starting up with him, so she didn't want to get too much into it because she wanted to see how things progressed," end quote. With Katie's mother Joy stating, quote, "She wouldn't talk to me about Tony Bushby, and I just put it down to the fact that perhaps it's nothing serious. I said to her, 'Who is this person?' And she said to me, 'He's a friend.' I said, 'Is he your boyfriend?' And she said to me, 'He's a boy and he's a friend.'" End quote. Joy and her eldest daughter, Sabrina, met Tony on only two occasions during the couple's relationship, and on both times, they described him as behaving weirdly and aloof. Quote, "Sabrina took the day off work. The front door knocked, and she opened the door to see Katie with Tony Bushby. She invited them in, and Tony Bushby came in and sat down, and she said she went upstairs, and by the time she'd got back, he'd already left without saying goodbye or anything like that. So she thought he was ill-mannered and didn't like him very much," end quote. Joy went on to describe the time she met Tony. Quote, "I was at home and I ran out of something in the house, so I decided to take a walk to the shops. I saw my daughter walking towards me with Tony Bushby, and Bushby walked ahead and stopped, turned around in a stern manner, and I thought, 'Oh, isn't he rude?' And I said to myself, 'There's something about this bloke that I do not like.'" End quote. And it turns out Katie's family were right to have concerns about him, because even though he didn't bother to put on a facade for them, he was much more dangerous and manipulative than they could have ever imagined. The pair's relationship blossomed and remained mainly in a virtual world, with Tony creating a whole new online social life for Katie, who'd spend hours in her room on her laptop. In the summer of that year, a few months into dating, Tony's behaviour and manipulation seemed to escalate, with him creating multiple fake Facebook profiles to allude to the idea that he was trustworthy and popular. These fake profiles included ex-girlfriends who were still pining after Tony and friends who would be considered edgy and cool in real life. Katie accepted the multitude of friend requests that came in and began talking to these people, believing they were all good friends of her new boyfriend, completely unaware that behind all of them sat Tony Bushby. Tony put so much effort into these profiles that no one questioned him. Even Katie's best friend, Amy, had no suspicions that they were fake. With every comment, message, and like, Katie fell deeper and deeper into his online fantasy world and web of intricate lies. On the 23rd of December 2011, Katie received a Facebook message from one of Tony's fake ex-girlfriends, Cynthia, asking to meet up with her. Katie suggested a secluded area and some nearby woods where her and Tony would hang out, and headed there with Tony to meet up with Cynthia. Tony had saved his sister's old mobile number as Cynthia in his phone, and taken along his sister's old phone with him that afternoon. This meant that if anyone had tracked the phone's locations, it would have placed Cynthia in the woods with Katie, and not Tony, with the Facebook messages between Katie and Cynthia corroborating this. As it turns out, Cynthia never showed. However, Katie unknowingly escaped a much darker fate that afternoon, one that would very soon catch up with her. After an unusually warm Christmas, just 3 days after Cynthia failed to show up in the woods, on Boxing Day 2011, Katie agreed to babysit for her elder sister Sabrina, as she was spending the evening with her boyfriend and his parents. It's known that at roughly 9 p.m. that evening, Tony turned up to Sabrina's house, and despite Sabrina telling Katie to, quote, "lock the door and don't let anyone in," end quote, Katie nevertheless allowed Tony to enter the house. However, he wasn't there to talk or spend time with her, as his behaviour was about to escalate further than anyone could have ever imagined. As the evening grew darker and the hours ticked by, Joy and Sabrina became more and more concerned as they were unable to reach Katie, with multiple phone calls going unanswered, The last time anyone had spoken to her was roughly 7:30 that evening, just over an hour and a half before Tony arrived at the address. The following morning, at roughly 8 a.m. on the 27th of December, Joy arrived at Sabrina's house to check on her youngest daughter and stumbled upon a scene that no mother should ever have to encounter. Today's episode is sponsored, in part, by Podcorn. Podcorn is one of the easiest ways to monetize your podcast, whether you're big or small. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters with amazing sponsorship opportunities, such as host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. With Podcorn, there is no middleman, and you retain full creative freedom. You set your own rates and collaborate with brands directly with no exclusivities. I love Podcorn and I can guarantee that you will too. Sign up today at podcorn.com to begin monetizing your podcast. That's podcorn.com, podcorn.com. As Joy tentatively entered the house, Sabrina's two young children ran down the stairs, aged 3 and 4 at the time, shouting something she will never forget. "Grandma, Grandma." "Katie's dead." There, slumped against the fridge, was Katie's cold, lifeless body in a pool of her own blood. She had been stabbed 23 times, with the pathologist later determining that her immediate cause of death was a severe stab wound to her neck that severed her jugular vein, as well as a severe stab wound to her stomach that punctured some of her vital organs. Katie's friends and family couldn't begin to imagine who would want to harm the beautiful, funny, kind 19-year-old. As police investigated the crime scene, it soon became apparent that Katie may have known her killer, with no forced entry being discovered and no sign of a struggle in the street outside of the house. This baffled Katie's family even more, because as far as they knew, there wasn't a single person who even disliked Katie, let alone wanted her dead. Her family informed police that she had a secret boyfriend, and from an analysis of Katie's computer, police discovered this secret boyfriend was Tony Bushby, who very quickly became their prime suspect. That same day, he was arrested and taken to the local police station for questioning, while crime scene investigators seized clothing and computer equipment from his home. Officers also discovered that Tony had destroyed his mobile in an attempt to hide any contact between him and Katie, and in the hours after her murder, police believe he disposed of bloody clothes and the murder weapon in a bin bag, of which he was spotted on CCTV carrying from his home. Neither the clothes or the murder weapon were ever discovered. Initially, Tony denied knowing Katie at all, however quickly changed his story and went on to point the finger at one of his Facebook friends, Dan Tress. It didn't take long for police analysing Tony's computer and social media to realise that Dan Tress, Cynthia and other friends he'd named during interviews were completely fake and had all been created by the same IP address belonging to Tony Bushby. While Tony maintained his innocence, police uncovered an unhealthy interest in serial killers, especially the American crime drama series Dexter. However, this wasn't the only thing police found on his computer. If a fascination with serial killers wasn't enough, they also discovered evidence of Tony Google searching how to dispose of human corpses and how to burn bodies before Katie's murder. While it appeared that Katie hadn't been sexually assaulted, computer analysis suggested that the murder may still have been sexually motivated, with Tony having searched and watched extremely violent porn, specifically black female submissive pornography. Sabrina believed that the type of porn Tony was consuming influenced his brutal attack on her younger sister. Quote, Bushby went from becoming obsessed with this type of violent fantasy to realising he knows a black woman and making that obsession a reality. These films depict black women in a very specific and degrading way and can be seen as inciting racial hatred or promoting violence against black women. End quote. On the 30th of December 2011, Tony Bushby was charged with the murder of Katie Winter, and in July 2012, his trial started, where he pleaded not guilty. The prosecution presented all the evidence against him, the fake Facebook profiles, the serial killer fascination, and the obsession with violent porn. While this was all circumstantial evidence against Tony that would not have stood by itself, together, the evidence presented a strong case against him. Michael Speak, for the prosecution, told the court, quote, he systematically tricked Katie over a period of time into believing that she was in contact with the defendant and with a small circle of his friends. In fact, this small circle of Facebook friends was entirely fictitious. He had set up those fake Facebook accounts. He created them. He controlled them all. Katie did not know this. The defendant manipulated the false identities to make Katie believe they were real people. He used them to say things about him to gain her trust. They said flattering or impressive things about him to get her to like him. He tried to suppress evidence that might incriminate him. We will probably never know precisely why he murdered Katie. We will probably never know how far in advance he intended to kill her. End quote. All the evidence, combined with Tony's complete lack of emotion while giving his own evidence, led to the jury unanimously finding Tony Bushby guilty of the murder of Katie Winter. In a victim impact statement, Joy said, quote, Christmas should be a peaceful, happy family time, but for me and my family, its meaning has changed forever, and we will never be able to celebrate it in the same way. End quote. The judge was satisfied that the murder was both premeditated and planned, and stated, quote, although there was no sexual assault, I am satisfied that your motive was a sexual one and that you derived sexual excitement from inflicting those injuries upon her. You inflicted stab wounds to the top of each of her thighs. End quote. He then informed Tony that he believed he posed a very serious danger to women before sentencing him to a minimum of 25 years at Her Majesty's pleasure. Tony Bushby will be 43 years old when he's eligible for parole. In a statement following the sentence, Katie's family stated, quote, Katie was a loving daughter, sister, and auntie, and we are all so very proud of her. The last few months have been unbearable. Losing her has left a hole in our lives, which can never be filled. Katie had so many friends, and everyone who knew her knew just how wonderful and unique she was. There aren't enough words to describe what she meant to us and what kind of person she was, but she was bright, bubbly, talented, and intelligent. She was respectful and kind to anyone she met. She never lost her temper, and for those who knew her, we are confident you would have felt honoured. She was one in a million and is irreplaceable. Katie had such a bright future, which was brutally taken away from her for no reason. We will never forgive this monster for what he has done. He is pure evil. We question every day how he could have done what he did to our beautiful Katie, and knowing that there were children in the house. His sentence is nothing less than he deserves. However, at the end of it, he will have his life. Not only do we struggle to get through every day without her, he has ruined every Christmas for our family in the future as well. We as a family have been given a life sentence by him. End quote. Social media is used by most people in a completely innocent manner. However, Katie's story serves to prove that you really can't trust anyone online, because even the people you think love you may have an ulterior motive. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and review, and Patreon to consider becoming a patron of Murder and More. As a patron, for just $2 a month, you get access to episodes early and ad-free, and you get a sticker sent to you. The link to my Patreon can be found in my show notes. To interact with us, you can follow us on Twitter and Tumblr at Murder and More, Instagram at Murder and More Pod, and Facebook at Murder and More Podcast. To view the sources and pictures for this episode, head over to www.murderandmorepodcast.wordpress.com. Have an amazing few weeks, stay safe, and I'll see you all in 2 weeks for another episode.
Shumai Frindiai, I'm Jolene, and I'm the host of Hometown Homicide. I cover true crime cases from all over Wales, most of which have never been covered before on any other podcast. You may think that Wales is just the quiet little country attached to the side of England that's full of sheep, but you would be very wrong. Wales has many dark true stories of murder, missing people, and even serial killers that you've probably never heard of before. So far in Hometown Homicide, I've explored cases such as Harold Jones, a 15-year-old double murderer who may have gone on to become a very well-known serial killer in Hammersmith. And Mabel Leishon, an elderly woman murdered and mutilated in her own home by a teen with vampire fantasies. I also try to raise awareness for missing people across Wales that aren't getting the media coverage that they deserve anymore. Search Hometown Homicide on your favourite podcast platform to unravel a Welsh case with me every episode. You can also find me on Twitter, @h_hpodcast, to keep up with episode releases and any other updates that I might have for you. I hope to see you guys soon, and until then, stay safe out there.